And I think we might want to sort of just sketch out a little bit of the historiographical sort of journey. And as you were sort of mentioning that, I think if people don't know that, probably I wondered whether that, I'm not going to out Michael's age at the moment, but that probably reflects a particular historiographical turn that was from the Cambridge School, people like John Seeley, that really focused on an empirical approach to empire that all was about colonial documentation and things like that. And that's maybe then reflected in the school education that you received. And I don't know whether, Priya, you want to grasp this one and just sort of tell us a little bit, just a very sweeping overview.
Well, what happens is I don't think the history of empire goes away as such, but, you know, we end up with an expanded field beyond a traditional sense of imperial history. And you have scholars around the world, particularly in the global south, but in the west, and, you know, also scholars of color in the west, in the US, the UK, across Europe, starting to ask new questions about agency of colonized peoples and of cultural politics and about race and gender and different kinds of categories of identity, and looking at how colonialism had an impact on this, on how colonialism then worked, but also trying to recover the subjectivities, the voices, the experiences of colonized, marginalized people. So you have a different turn. You have Edward Said's Orientalism and Ronald Inden's and his kind of successes. And then you also have the Subaltern Studies project. And this is also where I think we can't, there's something we need to bear in mind is where histories about imperialism and nationalism intersect. And I think that's something that we kind of maybe want to think about a bit more, because you have this debate, and then you have this going on in formerly colonized territories, newly decolonized countries, now independent nation states that are going through their own process of nation building and reevaluating their own recent histories and charting a future for themselves. But then in Britain itself, you know, this comes home to roost in many different kinds of ways. And in much more recent years, you're starting to look at British history from a whole new perspective. Firstly, a much more of a shift towards a four nations inclusive history. And within that, looking at the internal dynamics of what you could say is colonialism or imperialism, the way in which England takes over from Scotland, Wales, Ireland, etc., to look at that afresh and look at that in a more composite way. But yeah, into the 60s, 70s, you know, you actually start to see empire being removed from the school curriculum, a kind of potentially a more global history focus coming into play, but empire goes out of fashion. Working class histories become more to the fore. Feminist histories definitely come more to the fore. Oral history comes more to the fore in terms of research. But as you, in the UK itself, start to see more immigration and going into second and third generations, you definitely see a turn. And I'm not significantly enough. We know there are not anywhere near enough Black, Asian, other ethnic minority historians working within UK history departments or other humanities departments. They're significantly underrepresented. But nevertheless, all of this melting pot of ideas that has been building, particularly in this cultural turn around history, shifts the focus, shifts and brings in new ways of looking at the history and the impact of empire. And that in a way leads up to, you know, the Manchester School of looking at his imperial history and the debate between John Mackenzie and Bernard Porter about, okay, well, hang on a minute, what is, to what extent was empire actually influencing life in Britain? And to what extent did an imperial culture really touch the masses? I mean, I won't get into that in a huge amount of depth, but Mackenzie essentially voiced it off Porter and said, look, you can't escape this. This is a really important issue. And I mean, there's also been debates within that school about how do you define what empire was? Because actually historians have never quite agreed. They've never come to one unanimous decision. And I mean, then you've also got scholars such as John Darwin, Jamie Bellich, etc., that have connected the history of empire throughout time. So not just looking at the British Empire as such, but empires as a formation, you know, within history that have been around for centuries. So then we have to think about, well, what's different about the British Empire specifically? So we've seen not only a broadening, but also a deepening of the history of empire in and of itself as a concept. But then this idea emerging, particularly in the recent decade, about within British history, how do you recognize that this is British history? This is not something other that happened in the colonies or in India or Africa or whatever else. this actually has an impact on Britain itself. It should be integrated into Britain's identity, and particularly becomes pertinent as you see the demographic of British society changing rapidly from the 70s, 80s, 90s onwards, where you have got more and more second generation, third generation descendants of Commonwealth immigrants. So that adds urgency to the social debate as well as the historical one.